A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
It's the booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Yeah, actually, Charms, I was all over YouTube the last week. People are engaging.
Yeah, they are. It seems that they're watching.
Yeah, they're. But it's even, I think, and this is what Armin, I think, was referring to, is just the having that banter back and forth on the YouTube. They're totally different people, too.
New
so
audience,
verticals. Yeah. Talking verticals.
Well, verticals, yeah. Well, I noticed that looking at the analytics of the verticals on YouTube.
Analytics.
75% of our viewers on YouTube are discover us through YouTube, not through the search, not through, like, it pops up on their feed. That's a brand new audience. And that's why there's some anger on YouTube about us here and there sprinkled in as people discover us. It's so refreshing because the people that know us and know Footy Prime have kind of got used to the stupidity. But people who are experiencing us for the first time, I think are stunned by the stupidity. That comes with some anger.
Is there an example? Do you have one? Like, did you see one?
Look it up. There was a
couple. I'll look it up.
Yeah. I think around the Canada soccer stuff in particular, I believe. Was it MLS? Okay. No, I forget now. But generally speaking, it's all the good reviews, actually. And they will certainly power today's podcast and Munger's whale sack. It's Footy Prime. Jimmy's here. Dubs is here. JC's here. Wong is here. I'm Shum. Still waiting for Craig Forrest.
We'll see.
Unlike Craig.
Yeah, but you know, he is dealing with common feces. So
yeah. Is he back home now? He's not, is he?
Dubs, can we talk about anger at what I'm angry at today? I listened to CF Montreal podcast yesterday, Three Questions, and it was spectacular. But you know she's slowly replacing us. There were four people on her podcast.
No, she's got a strategy at play.
What is going on here?
It's strategery.
It is strategery. It was a really good podcast, really funny that you got to use Megatron and just like.
You just watched the promo, didn't you?
Disappointed.
No. I listened to the whole thing. Yeah, I listened to the whole thing. But what bothers me is. Like
here it is.
No, it's these guys are better than us. So they're slowly going to be, and they're funnier, better accents. Like, well, Ollie's accent could give Jimmy's accent a run for its money.
What I've noticed with Three Questions Montreal compared to Footy Prime is that they actually watch the matches they're talking about, right? It's a removal from what we're used to, perhaps. Although, in fairness, listen, Asa Raymond, Joe Molinaro on TFC and Vancouver, they watch the games too. So we have that. And today, actually, we have a special guest on Vancouver Whitecaps, Three Questions. We have Ali Ahmed joining us.
Wow.
Yeah, who's...
That's a wow.
Yeah, he just got back into the starting 11 after hernia surgery. And I'm going to be asking... Well, actually, I'm not going to be asking him about that, but I know Craig is, because Craig loves a hernia surgery story. Have you noticed that?
He does.
He loves getting into the nitty-gritty of hernia surgery.
Hmm.
Right, Jimmy? Remember, you've had numerous conversations with him about it.
Speaking of hernias...
Yes, because we both actually had hernias.
Yeah, right? Here he is.
And we both have metal plates in us.
Hey, Craig.
Ouch.
Yeah, I'm saying we have Ali Ahmed on Vancouver Whitecaps Three Questions today. Just coming off, obviously, hernia surgery. And I know for a fact that you're going to be asking him about that because you love talking about hernia surgeries.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a few, didn't we, eh? Yeah, I guess I had three hernia surgeries. Yeah. And then the other surgery that had to cut through it, so... The mesh.
Oh, so the ball surgery cut through the mesh?
Yeah.
Well, that's a piss off, isn't it?
It is. I said, what are you doing going through the mesh? He says, why didn't you tell me? I said, well, I said, you're taking a ball out. I said, it seems pretty self-explanatory.
Ball's down there. The mesh is up here.
Right? Right?
Why don't you go around the mesh?
Craig also had a breast augmentation during that procedure too. I got 34 Bs too.
Quite a rack.
Or yeah.
Hey, listen, we have to ask Wunger exactly what he's wearing right now. He's wearing a green hat. It looks like a Cub Scout hat. Is what it looks like to me.
It does.
So it looks like a cap, old England cap.
It is a rush cap for a fraternity from my father's university college in Virginia. And I think Dubs might know WM. Did you ever play against a Virginia team? Oldest college in the United States. That
no,
should give you a hint.
I never did, but I'll ask my sister because she went to VCU. So maybe she did.
Right close. Well, you can't because I'm going to tell you who it is. It's William and... Mary.
Oh.
Yeah. So my dad went to William and Mary because my grandmother, my father's father died. The family moved. My grandmother ended up marrying three different men, and this third man lived in Virginia. My grandmother was like the Black Widow of Chinese ladies.
She was no virgin.
She wasn't a virgin.
She also had three hernia surgeries.
Yeah. Well, she calls that
quote, exactly.
It looks more like a dunce cap to me.
Wow.
It does. I thought it was waste management.
Well, it has to be tournament, right?
Tournament coming up.
So they've already had it, Jimmy.
Yeah. I thought a dunce cap, and we shouldn't use that term, but weren't they the cones? They look like the gnome.
Yes. That was a dunce, had a cone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why shouldn't we use it? Is dunce derogatory?
I don't know. I always found that mean because back in the day, if you were I remember the 70s, 80s elementary schools where kids were dyslexic or something. And like I had a teacher throw a stapler at me. Like there were nuts teachers who put kids in corners and like there was authority needed to be handled with at the time. Now I think it's a bit of a pushback now, but back in the day, kids were treated pretty shitty.
Yeah, now...
They were wearing a hat that looked like that.
Yeah,
this is my choice, Dubs. My choice.
Oh, I see.
Bring out the hat. Wong in the corner.
Like, the teacher couldn't be wrong. Like, if they looked at Wonger and he was your student, he'd be like, you look like a fucking idiot.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Yeah, that's right. And Wonger would be like, oh, no.
Oh, no, don't put me back in the corner.
Straight C's, you motherfuckers.
I envision a day when one day they have a label for me, a special name. They won't make fun of me. Just seems it's labels for everyone nowadays, that's all. It's gone the other way, right? But you're right. It wasn't right back in the day.
I think I probably, out of this group, had the second best grades. And I know who had the first grades, and that it had to be Dubs.
Dubs.
But I think I probably had the second best grades. Just sheer will. As we put it.
That's not the brag you think it is, Walker.
It's not. It's not.
Not at all.
The drunken 800 meter runner.
Your ass there, Ian.
Yeah. Hey, do you remember at university what the passing GPA was?
No.
It's 2.00, right? You had to get above 2. This is at the then Ryerson, right? Which isn't quite the same as at the time, real universities, it's changed since then. But 2.00 was the mark you had to get, right? I graduated with a 2.00 GPA. I was that close to blowing it. And I still get those recurring dreams where, you know, I've got an exam and I've got to get my grade point average up and I'm blowing it and I'm going to fail. I still get those dreams.
You it's had amazing a where your degrees have left you.
Yeah. But Sharms, that's basically like a 51, a 2.0.
It was a stupid degree. It was visual. It was arts, an arts degree, but it was like visual arts. It was all subjective. And there were some stupid courses. The good course would have been radio and television arts for me, but I didn't get into that one. I wasn't smart enough. So I got into media arts / visual arts, and I managed to stumble my way through, but fuck, was it fun.
So were you doing like art projects? Like, hey, today's pastels, today's oils?
I did that in the first year or so. There you were. Charcoal. Like, you couldn't choose. And some stupid ones. Yep.
Did you watch Bob Ross?
Yeah. Yeah. Tony Hart. Remember him in England? He was Rolf Harris. Whoa. We shouldn't mention him. He was part of a different generation back in those days. A lot of photography, videography, editing. So that stuff came in handy.
So it was a special school.
Yeah. It was a special school.
Short bus?
Yeah, very short. Yeah. Three-seater. That's how short it was. I wore a special cap. Much like Wonger's.
You also I'm all right. Bus.
Listen, you know what? I know we got some Wonger's well sack, right? We'll get to, right, Wonger? But I thought we could dig into our Hall of Famers lives and careers a bit today. I was doing some research yesterday while watching the afternoon footy, and I found some quotes from some stories over the years regarding our three Hall of Famers here. So a bit of a game that kind of who said this about what? Okay. So like this is a quote. This is a quote from a story I tracked down. I want you to know who you think the reporter was talking about. A happy-go-lucky sort with a wicked edge. This person has a good sense of humor and a sandpaper-like tongue that can tear strips off a reporter.
Dubs.
Nope.
Jimmy?
It was Jimmy. It was Jimmy Brennan. When he signed for TFC, Neil Davidson, the legend, the OG, wrote actually it was a great profile of Jimmy. And that was, a brilliant line. A happy-go-lucky sort with a wicked edge. He has a good sense of humor and a sandpaper-like tongue that can tear strips off a reporter. You were a bit prickly, Jimmy. You're a good interview, but you didn't suffer fools gladly in those early couple of years at TFC.
I didn't like stupidity.
Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of stupid questions, right, for reporters back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't handle it. Neil was a
long way.
Neil was a good reporter. He got it. He asked good questions. It was some of the other guys. I just couldn't handle it.
Did I ask good questions?
No, you're all right. You're okay.
Thank Christ for that.
I hammered you, did I?
No, you didn't. But you were there beside Mo Johnston when he hammered me once. You pulled me aside and tore a strip out of me.
Yeah,
it was. You know why? It was KJ's fault, Christian Jack's fault, because he had broken a story. I think it was your retirement story. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
And he wasn't at training. And Mo and you pulled me aside and just berated me and said, who's the source? Where's he getting this information from? Why isn't he here? And I said, listen, I don't know who his source is, although I did. I don't know who it is. But listen, why don't you guys come on the footy show and talk about this? And there was an appetite
Dan
for that.
Dan Charms, way to steer that.
Yeah, right. Dan Wright said, listen, hey, and I agree, KJ should have been there that day, but he wasn't. But come on over and we'll have a chat. But that was the only time. But apart from that, we got on pretty well, I think, back in those days.
No, we did. We got on well.
Who did you berate the most? Who did you said someone, you don't have to name a name, but what did you say to them? Did you say that's a stupid question, Jimmy?
Yeah, I would say something like that. That's a stupid question. Am I answering it? Or that was dumb. Or what are you talking about right now? I do not understand.
You might be in your best interest to take a different approach.
Yeah.
Well, back in those days too, it was great though. Back in those days, you go to training. Craig, remember this? You go to training for TFC, which is at Cherry Beach often, in like the communal parks and fields. That's and you just hang out on the sidelines for the whole training session. And at the end, you could pretty much pick and choose who you interviewed. You cherry just go, pick? And this person, cherry pick, so to speak. Yeah.
I'll tell you what it was as well, right? You had a few reporters that understood the game, and they got it. Okay. And then you had other reporters that were there just because Sportsnet, the Star, the Sun, whoever, just threw them over, the National Post. And they were like baseball guys, or they were hockey guys. And they'd be talking to me like, oh, that was a great, that banana kick that you did, or that curveball that you kicked down the line. Like, is that difficult to do? I was like, get the fuck out of here. Come on. I got no time for this now.
Those questions aside, though, is there an evolution of sorts, like from when you arrived in 2007 to where there was an understanding or like an energy and a reciprocity built up to where there was a little bit of banter back and forth and you recognized who you could do that with and that became bigger, or that you never really kind of got that culture from the media and in Toronto, at least when you were at TFC?
At the beginning, no, not really. And then as it kind of went on, there were certain reporters that you had that rapport with that you could hang out with and have a little giggle with. Sharms would be one of them. Neil Davison was another good guy. I used to like to wind up JMO because he was a bit stiff. So I used to like to get him going. And then other than that, there wasn't too much. Obviously you had Forrest and Jerry, they were always good fun, right? Because they got it. They understood it. They understood the game. So they had that banter with one another. But apart from that, I don't think there was too many after that. Was there? Who was the other guy? I can't remember his name right now, but he was a great guy. He'll come to me.
Well, I remember Morgan Campbell at the Start. He was new to the game, but he really studied it, and he asked the right questions. He'd often ask myself or JMO or Neil, and he got it pretty quickly as well. Good writer as well. But yeah, there were some guys that would just be assigned TFC that week from a media outlet, and my God, the press conferences were so fucking annoying at times. Like,
no, they were
questions. Yeah.
They were terrible. And the thing was, what made it even worse was you knew that they didn't even want to be there.
No.
They had no interest in being there. And then they would ask stupid questions. And then the people that actually understood the game, that wanted to ask legitimate questions and were genuinely curious about certain situations that happened in a match.
And you're coming off a 10-game losing streak.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
that didn't help as well. He was happy.
Yeah, well, I remember there was one guy.
Frustration there for sure.
Remember the guy was talking about Deitch and trying to figure out what the equivalent of a Gordie Howe hat trick would be. Yeah. So remember that? I think maybe in like Deitch scored a goal and assist and got a red card or something. It could be in the day that you bit that guy. Could have been that one. I forget now. But
Danny said Gordie who?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Remember that?
Because we got Deitch and Carl Robinson on the Footy Show pretty early. Early doors, we got on pretty well with them, KJ and myself. So we got them on the show to kind of ingratiate us towards TFC a little bit. And Andy Welsh came on too. I think you may have been on there once, twice as well, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Couch was a thing back in those days, yeah. But yeah, different times. Oh, Neil went on, by the way, to write, the 6-foot, 170-pounder has long been the illustrated man of the Canadian squad.
That was a lie, by the way. I was 183 pounds.
Neil, you hack. Jesus. He said, on his back, his surname is written in Old English with his zodiac sign, Taurus, and the saying, keep the faith. High on one shoulder is a Celtic design on the other, sorry, a Celtic design on the other, a Celtic dragon. There you go.
Are you coming to shower with me?
You must have done, right? But like I said, back in those days, there's such accessibility for the players. Like I said, training, you go there, Cherry Beach or wherever, or at BMO. And you'd hang out the entire time. You could talk to whoever you wanted post-match, including Mo. It was easy. Nowadays, you go to training on certain days. You got 15 minutes on the sidelines. Then you're ushered off. And then you had to obviously request interviews on non-official media match days if you can get a certain player. And they're very amenable. They're good this way. But it's changed so much. Match day minus one is when you get John. And it used to be the coach is available whenever. So it's just the game's changed. I think MLS as a whole has changed that way. But I thought that was quite interesting.
Can I make one comment while you were making that astute story right there. Amy, sorry, I don't know. Amy put her leg up and she's got her knee up to like on her chair. And I thought that was her skin. And I was like,
she's wearing white pants.
Oh my God.
There, it's a light gray pant. Thank you, okay. Honor.
You're welcome. Are you feeling better, Dubs? You sound a bit better. But you're still, yes, there's remnants better. Of the flu.
Yes. Yeah.
Just you have some color.
You do.
Definitely color. Brighter.
Just compared to my
yeah, top half.
I look tan.
Top half has color.
Yeah.
Hey, Jimmy, your mic's working today, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Is it a new wow. mic or new cable?
No.
No?
You just had to wrap it around a few times.
Okay. You sound so much better.
It's like the 8-inch membrane we started the show with.
Yeah, I wish we were recording. So I tuned in today, and Wonga was having a conversation with his much better half. And all I heard as I tuned in was an 8-inch rubber. What was it? Something.
8-inch rubber membrane.
Chicken. Membrane. It was membrane, yeah. He was talking about his roofing issues. But I tuned in right at that moment. Like, oh, what am I jumping on here? Jesus. So, no. I knew it wasn't, obviously, true, given the 8-inch part of it, but right. it was quite amusing. Anyway, moving on to the next little quotey thing I found on the interweb. This person is such a popular figure at the football club, and indeed in the whole football circuit. I have never heard anyone say other than good things about this person. He is obviously an shit. This person is obviously an excellent as well.
Nobody says anything bad about Forrest.
No, it's Craig. It's Craig. So I'll read the whole thing again, and then you can guess who said it. I wonder if Craig knows. He is such a popular figure at the football club, and indeed in the whole football circuit. I've never heard anyone say other than good things about Craig Forrest. He's obviously an excellent goalkeeper as well. Just from that at the end there. He's obviously a decent goalkeeper too. Do you know who said that?
Craig, do I know who said that?
Yeah.
David Allard?
No. Who's that?
Who's that?
It was a reporter at Ipswich.
Oh, this isn't a reporter. This is actually one of your managers.
Oh.
Oh.
Bobby?
Holger?
Nope.
Yeah, I figured not. It was a shot in the dark.
He's just, yeah. Holger was still pissed off about you getting injured for the 2000 World Cup qualifying campaign.
John Duncan?
Nope.
Red
might surprise you. Nope.
No, John Lyle?
Nope. Wasn't Bobby Ferguson either. Fucking Forrest.
George Burley?
Nope.
I'm running out of managers.
It was Glenn Rhoda.
Glenn Rhoda?
Glenn Rhoda.
Yeah, wow. this is after they released you or after you got the cancer diagnosis.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Glenn. I appreciate that.
Yeah. If he's that excellent goalkeeper, why didn't you re-sign him?
Yeah, exactly. He was told by the board, don't re-sign this guy.
Yeah. It's damn nice, nice quote, though, isn't it? He's such a popular figure at the football club. Yeah. Indeed, in the whole football setting.
He's off balance now.
Yeah. It can't be good. It can't be good.
He leans to his left now. Strikers will suss him right out.
It's like the Fulham keeper on Forrest's second goal yesterday. The fuck was he doing?
Yeah.
I didn't see that. What happened?
You have a stinker?
Flat footed.
Yeah, he was, yeah, like wrong footed in the middle of nowhere, like out, but not far enough out, not back on his line. And then Wood scored one. He just passed it in seemingly from like 30 yards. It was really strange because it was just so off in his positioning, the Fulham keeper.
Good Chris Woods Forrest. Is scoring some big goals right now, isn't he, for Forrest?
Yeah. It was a good game. Forrest played really well.
Massive result.
Huge.
Everton, they drew, of course, as well. Now, they're going to find out, maybe by the time we drop this podcast, about their latest punishment, if at all. They faced a hearing last week for more financial irregularities. So, we'll see. Jimmy's got his fingers crossed. He's really hoping it's another 10-pointer to help Forrest and their cause.
I like Everton.
I like Sean Dyche.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, guys. We've got whose microphone may be on the table? Is that Craig's knee?
Keep doing that, Wonger.
Oh, jeez.
Who is it?
I don't know.
I think Craig holding his mic? Jimmy, like,
he's holding his mic.
Yeah, maybe I'm jiggling around a bit.
All right.
There you go. Anyway.
So everyone, just so you know, it's Craig Forrest, yes, who's well-liked by everyone. So
the podcast guys, world.
Like, that's yeah. Right.
The whole podcast circuit is people more liked than Craig Forrest. All right, got one more for you here. This is actually, it's not so much who it is. I think it's just funny that she wrote this. And I want to hear, and I also got a quote from Dubs as well. Okay, so
this is Dubs writing about herself?
Yeah, no, it's not. I've got a quote from Dubs about herself. But this is on the occasion of her 100th cap for Canada. It's a great moment for her, said coach Carolina Marache, who picked up her first win for Canada that afternoon. She deserves all the accolades she receives. The players are very happy for her. It's a very good moment. Now, Dubs replied, I don't make long-term plans, but I'm enjoying playing under Carolina and the new staff. So we'll see where it goes. Sorry, I'm laughing.
Didn't go very much further, did it?
Was it two more games, I think?
Yeah.
I shouldn't laugh. But you didn't have the best time under Carolina. Carolina. Did you?
No, I mean, it was brief. I would have continued willingly, but then got pregnant.
Selfish.
Yeah.
Let country do it.
What are you doing?
Oh, come on.
But you can tell from that quote, though, I have a really hard time not telling the truth. Like, that was in my head. Like, I'm not really sure what I'm doing. I may have even been pregnant then. And I'm like, yeah, I don't really make long-term plans. Like, it's such a BS quote.
Yeah. It's like saying, you know, I'm kind of setting myself up for the fact that I haven't got much longer left here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to kind of show a bit of foreshadowing here. I don't make long-term plans. But I think in your life, though, I think you do, though, Dubs, don't you? You seem a very tactical person to me.
At least 9 months long.
That's it. No, I'm getting a little bit better at that. I always usually mesh well with people, like growing up, friends who made plans, and I was just kind of up for anything and along for the ride. And now I kind of have to do it by default in the family. I'm the one who manages the schedule. But like my sister-in-law, Mary Beth, like when we go out there every summer to Halifax, she's asking like in January or February, like, okay, when are you guys coming? I'm like, it's June. Like, it's ages away. Why do you need to know now? You know, but like, she's a planner. So mm-hmm. I'm kind of getting there, but it's not usually the way that I operate. I'm trying to get better at that.
How many games did you play with Cindy for Canada?
Early, maybe 15.
15?
Yeah.
And her career came to an end. Why?
She just fell out of favor with Evan.
Okay.
We had that one gold cup in 2000, and she just had a poor tournament and never got invited back. And really? I don't really know why.
Does she resent you for your Canadian career?
No,
awkward dinners, family dinners together?
No, never.
People celebrate your career and then say, oh, no, Cindy, you're good too.
No, and then she got called back in with under Carolina.
Oh, did she?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Played a couple of kind of friendlies, but that was it. But she still plays. She's unbelievable.
Is she younger than you?
Mm-hmm. Yep, 2 years younger.
Okay. Still playing at 44. Sorry, mm-hmm. Cindy. Giving it away there. Really good for her.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. I think there's more to the Carolina Marache story than meets the eye, perhaps, within the room. That's my guess here, given what happened in 2011. Not the greatest of World Cups. Craig knows more as well.
Yeah.
She was a bit of a prickly pear to talk to, wasn't she?
Yeah.
The media.
Yeah. She came in with high Jimmy,
but yeah. Yeah. Where was she prior to Canada again? She came with a big reputation.
Where was she?
Was it Italy?
She was coaching at a men's team, I want to say.
Yeah. And I think she got one game in Serie C as a head coach.
Right.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A pioneer. Because look at all the women coaching now in professional men's football.
Yeah. She was an early player too, right?
Oh yeah, she was an unbelievable player for Italy.
Mm-hmm. Would she join in training sessions like Mo did? Like, would we get involved?
Sometimes, I mean, not too much though. No, not too much.
All right. So yeah, I thought it was a bit of fun, you know, digging deeper. We'll do more of this, I think, in the future.
Nice.
We'll find some interviews. There was a lot of podcasts actually with interviews with the three of you. I didn't have time to listen to them because I'm too busy listening to all our podcasts. But we'll get to that and get some quotes perhaps earlier in your careers. All right. Did you enjoy that, everyone?
Well, there were, you know,
kind of shit compared to Forrest and Jimmy. I have to admit.
Yeah, I know. I rushed yours. I'm sorry. We'll find better ones, better clips. If you have any suggestions where I can find some.
No. This segment can maybe be a one-off. I don't have to revisit it.
I actually went back to Nebraska and tried to find some clips there and quotes, but didn't find too much. But I didn't spend too much time doing it.
We didn't ensure they had a meeting order.
What did you say, Jimmy?
I said he's such a bellend.
Why am I a bellend?
Because he has a little pop, a little dig, and then all of a sudden he wants to be your friend, asks you a nice question, then he has another little dig, then he brings you back in again.
So vintage, veteran hosting, right, Wonger?
Yes, vintage.
Vintage. What are you talking about?
I don't know.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
All right, well, now it's your turn. You've got some Among Us Well sacks we can react to.
Yeah, we've got some fun ones. Referring to our YouTube video, We Are Inside You, this is from @7Romboloid. Copa America, We Are Inside You. In my opinion, the players we have are talented enough to compete at the same level with Peru and Chile and give a good fight against Argentina if the team were better organized. So the reference is to the Copa, but the biggest thing is if the team were better organized was the take. How do you guys feel about the team going into Copa with who they've got and the person at the helm? Craig, how are you feeling about that right now?
There's nothing to lose, and they've got a team that's talented enough to get out of that group, in my opinion. I think they can compete with all the three on their day.
That's optimistic. I think we have a tendency to overrate this team. Not us necessarily, but Canadian football. We're so thirsting for international success that we look at and we kind of dismiss these other teams who have been there and done it on the biggest stage and played a South American qualifying, right? Peru, Chile. I mean, my God, that's tough qualifying, right?
Yeah.
I think we've got some decent players. Obviously, we've got some really good players. But I still think we still have the World Cup, right? That group doesn't scare me, people are saying, right? Come on. We're not there yet. And of course I'll be cheering them on, hoping for the best, but I just think we've got this tendency to overrate. And maybe it's not a bad thing. Being positive, optimistic, I like that. Mm. And they can certainly play with the Perus and this aging Chile team, but I still don't really see them getting out of that group.
I think that the three of us Dubs and Jimmy, myself, as players, former players, if you're going into that tournament with that squad of players, I am excited. I'm enthusiastic about going into it because I'm thinking the same thing. I'm thinking there's no reason why we can't compete with all three of these teams and get out of the group and see what happens. That would be absolutely my goal. And I think it would be your guys' goal too. With that, think about if you're actually in that squad of players right now, the best attacking squad that we've ever had. If we sort ourselves up defensively a little bit, keep things tight, why not?
Craig, lift your arm up a little bit. Hold the mic. Not that you sound great. It's just that you're leaning on there. You're hitting the table somehow. No. Don't leave the microphone further. You keep it's your knee is hitting the table, so it's bringing in all the sound. So when you're talking, it's like just
listen.
Stay still. No, stay still.
Waste management.
But Craig, I admire Wonger's commitment to that, to the cap, though. It's very good.
He's not quitting that cap, is he?
It's kind of askew. So are your glasses. I'm digging it so far. But I agree with Forrest, sort of to jump in there ahead of you, Sharms, that there's most likely a feeling of anticipation, of excitement in the group, given that that core lived that disappointment in Qatar, where there were massive expectations placed on them and they fell well short. So I think they're going to take a more measured approach, a more realistic approach, but still seek to go out there and disrupt and surprise. Mm. You still remain an underdog, despite your point, which I think is a good one, Sharms, that the team I think does tend to be overrated. And I think, Wonger, the question that you read out or the comment saying that they just need to be better organized, is that a comment that's talking about them defensively? Is it talking about their manager? You know, I think that's probably what it is, to say that this team just needs the right person in charge in order to shape this journey, in order to kind of more clearly define it so that they can, you know, find the success that they need. I don't know if that's going to be the answer. I think that they have all the pieces in place. I'm not saying that the manager doesn't matter, but I think it's inside that dressing room, those players, those personalities, that talent, they have to get it right. And I really do think that the manager is secondary. It's those players have to get it right.
They did leave on the question, they did leave an ellipse, the dot, dot, dot. So Dubs filled in all of the dot, dot, dots because that's what she was supposed to do.
I added a dot as well.
You did.
I think that was the defense is the big question, though, Jimmy. And, you know, to say that, yeah, we've got this great attack and it's a very good attack. Like you said, best that Canada's had maybe ever. But defensively, there's still so many question marks. No matter who's coaching the team, whether it's Morrow or whoever it is, who are those players? Arguably, you know, the most dynamic fullback outside of Fonzie, Richie Larea, may not even be around healthy for Copa America, right? Don't forget that. That's a potential huge loss for this team. Sam Adekubi still hasn't played for Vancouver as he returns. Hopefully, he's back in time. But I think there's some big question marks. Who steps into the shoes of Steven Vitoria? The defense is key against those teams in that group.
Yeah, it is. I know we say, are they overrated? I don't think they're overrated. I think it's expected now with these players to perform. You're playing at some of the biggest clubs in the world. And I think when people talk about them being organized, that's a manager that needs to come in and get the best out of these players, that understands what they need to be successful and to perform as a team, being cohesive and all on the same page. I think times it becomes a little bit too individual, and that's where we let ourselves down. And I think that manager that's going to come in has got to have the experience of dealing with players that play at a high level, players that do have egos, and tactically has to be very, very sound. And being an ex-player and looking at this squad that we have now, knowing what these guys are like, they're dying to play in this Copa America. Dying to. I wanted to as a player. So did Forrest. All of us did. We all wanted to play in Copa America. So they're going to be up for the challenge. Did we gain great experience and valuable experience from the World Cup? 100% we did. 100% we did. Is CONCACAF a little bit easy for us at the moment? Yes, because CONCACAF isn't the best. But going into this Copa America, there will be expectations for them to get through to the next round. With the players that we have on paper, they should be getting through the next round. Argentina, yeah, it's looking for that, what a game that's going to be. And if you look even at the last World Cup, playing against the top teams in the first match of any big tournament sometimes works in your favor. If you look at Argentina, they lost the first match in the World Cup. France lost the first one. England drew to the States. And sometimes there's that little bit of luck that you get playing against these bigger teams for that first match. And then we're playing Peru. Would I be scared of Peru with this squad? No, no chance. No. Would I be scared of Chile with this squad? No chance at all. No way.
Belgium were number one in the world when they played them in the World Cup, and they played really, really well against them. They held their own, so there's no reason why not.
And we've seen glimpses. We've seen glimpses of what they can do and how they can perform when they're all on the same page. And they just need to be consistent. It needs to be 95 minutes, not only 30 minutes in a match.
What was your truthful review of that Trini game?
I didn't enjoy it. I thought it was terrible. I thought we struggled big time to break them down. I thought our movement was too static. We didn't make unselfish runs to open them up in behind. I thought our tempo was poor. And then you hear people now when they're talking, going, well, you know, when you play against teams like Peru and Chile, and you know, they're not going to defend like that. Well, bullshit, because if they're up 1-0 15 minutes to go, what do you think they're doing? They're bunkering in. And if we can't get through Trinidad, how are you going to get through a Peru, a Chile, or Argentina when they bunker in when there's 10 minutes left in a match and we've got to get through them?
South American teams defend. They defend. That's what they do.
Of course.
Tenaciously. But okay, so this team that's, again, I think is a good team with potential. But when was Canada's last good game? When?
Good question, Charles.
Was it the Jamaica game to qualify for the World Cup? Honestly, when was it? Okay, Belgium, yeah, they had moments in that game, but Belgium
is probably the best game, I think, that we've saw where we went, wow, look what this squad can do. After
the first 5 minutes against Croatia. That's
2022, guys.
Yeah.
My point being that this team has to have a performance at some point. It's been a long time. Yeah, this potential. Yeah, we've got Alfonso Davies, you've got John David, you got Stefan Eustachio. Yeah, really, really good players who haven't put it together for Canada for a while. It's been some time.
This is true. This is true. Yeah.
So let's 100%. Just, you know, acknowledge that rather than, you know, like a lot of people saying, it's just the manager, it's just the coach. That's the problem. Like, it goes beyond that.
Yeah.
It goes beyond that.
And then Jimmy talking about that disappointing game against Trinidad and Tobago, like you look at the midfield and you want somebody to be dictating the tempo and really quickening the pulse of the team. And then Sharms, you dropped Ali Ahmed as being a guest on Whitecaps Three Questions this week. He's going to be healthy. He's going to be available. So I'd really love to see a midfield three of Eustachio, Kone, and Ahmed. I think that goes a long way, not necessarily to solving that problem, but that helps out an awful lot to have three guys of that quality kind of driving the ship and then controlling things in the middle of the park.
Mm-hmm. It'd be great to see Ali involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's a fun player to watch, isn't he? Really fun player. We'll ask him all about that later today. I've got one here, Wonga. It's referring to our most recent pod looking at the financial state of Canadian football. He says, you are wrong on the philanthropy side. So, so wrong. This is a Rob Dore one. There is money from Canadians who are absolutely dying to give in return for recognition. Kevin understands this, Kevin Blue. Trust me, he knows exactly what buttons to push. There are people like Ryan Reynolds, for example, who has found his love for the game through his investment in Wrexham. His video message to Sinclair before her last game with Canada just shows his interest in the storytelling aspect of our game. There are others like Ryan who will give as long as the recognition they receive matches up to their interests. I have no doubt that Kevin will be able to tap into that crowd. I wouldn't be surprised if in the next 6 months we see an announcement that Ryan Reynolds' name being attached to Canada Soccer due to a sizable donation. At the same time, an announcement is made that his company, Maximum Effort, we'll be doing a documentary of the Canada men's team's journey through the World Cup, for example. I hope he's right. I really do. But Ryan Reynolds is losing a lot of money right now at Wrexham. He's got a plan in place. He's got a strategy.
Yeah.
I don't think Ryan Reynolds is a solution. And who are these other people that are
also, Sharms, if you had your private chat up, That's the exact same one I chose.
Just oh, so was it? Sorry, I should put that. I keep
but isn't that, that's like a hyper confident and
yes.
like self assured and oddly specific comment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you saying it could be Rob McElhenney? Is that Rob Dorn?
No.
Realistic?
No, I'm saying this is like a random person who's convinced that this is happening.
This is a solution.
Is this person friend with Ryan?
Kevin. He's buddies with Kevin and Ryan. We've got to see the intersection. We need a Venn diagram, and Rob Dorn is going to be in the middle.
Listen, maybe he knows. Maybe he's got insight. Maybe he's got some you know, sources. I don't
Ryan's
know.
Why don't you just ask him?
Where are these people been? Yeah, why isn't exactly? He's rich.
He's rich. Just ask him.
Okay. Jim Carrey's rich. He'll give money.
Yeah.
And that commenter, I think that's directed at me. Like I was talking about the philanthropy sector. Like I was saying there's no, I don't think there's a ton of money to mine. And I said, I hope that I'm wrong, you know, but I mean, where are these people coming from? You know, aside from your Ryan Reynolds and your Jim Carreys and your Celine Dion's or whomever.
Like, it makes more sense for Ryan Reynolds to give money to the Welsh National Program, doesn't it? To bolster Wrexham and that interest of his, I would think. Cheap bastard, Ryan. Christ, turning your back on Canada. Come on, do what Rob said.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just thinking, well, if they haven't spent money in the past, why all of a sudden are they going to spend money now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ryan Reynolds is very calculated. Those guys are smart guys. They're only going to get involved in certain things and to a certain distance. He's involved with Wrexham. That's his thing. Will he get involved on the national team? Secondary, probably, help. He was involved, Ryan, with the World Cup with the men's team from a inspirational standpoint before the Croatia game. But to be visual in front of the public talking about it, that wasn't for him at the time. Mm-hmm. And if he was going to get involved in the CSA, he wouldn't do it right now. And if he does, he's going to give exactly the same amount of money to the women's program as he is to the men's program. Because that's just who he is.
Yeah.
And with all the turmoil going on, that's not going to happen right now. Maybe with anybody, for that matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't get it wrong. We hope they do. Mm-hmm. We hope somebody comes in and spends money in this program.
Yeah. I think Canada Soccer will be open to the conversation if Ryan came knocking on the door. I just don't see why he would at this point. He's like, yeah, he's rich, but he's not that rich. And he's got a lot of money tied up in gin and Wrexham. Mm. And you know what? Pull out another Deadpool movie and maybe use that because that'll do well. Mm. Right.
Can I just say my second favorite or like 1A, 1B of Jimmy is tell you something's for free. And then my second favorite is, I don't know. He kind of says, I don't know.
But he does know.
He does know.
Because you'll say, I don't know. And then you have a good response. And oh, actually, you do know.
Say it again, Jimmy.
I don't know.
No, it wasn't like that.
you know, don't you think Jimmy looks a little bit? Jimmy's kind of pulling his inner Steve Jobs today. He's got the black shirt on, and he's got that like a white, almost like a TED Talk kind of feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you sound great, you look great. I love the background. You just like pop, you pop. You look the most professional out of all of us.
It's a blank wall.
Yeah, but it works well though.
Yeah.
Anything longer?
You look really good.
I do. I think it needs, you know, when they do the measurements at the unusual suspects, like you go to jail, then he needs one of those on.
That would be amazing. A great background for all of
those suspects.
Yes.
Throw me the keys, motherfucker.
Okay. I'm getting us on the set of Law and Order. I'm going to pull some strings, Law and Order Canada. And we're all, when we come down in May, and we'll all take a shot at their one of those prison things, and we'll go take.
Can we get a photo shoot done there with that?
Maybe, you know.
Yeah,
I know some people. I know some people.
We need a photo shoot, Wonger. We do.
Everyone, watch Law and Order: Criminal Intent, Toronto, please.
And as Wonger mentions, May. So just to kind of, we'll start teasing it a little bit, shall we?
Yeah, sure.
Teasing it. We are planning our first ever live event at a drinking establishment where you can come and maybe buy tickets. I don't know. Maybe not. But come and take on one of our shows live, and we'll incorporate the audience. And yeah, so that we're working it right now. We're thinking in May at some point, maybe early to middle of May. We're not sure just yet. We've got to pull some strings. And we've got some other announcements coming soon as well, which will be helping to support that. Right, JC? Yeah. So anyway, that's exciting. So just keep your calendars free for all of May. All right. Probably a Thursday. Okay. And come on down and have some pints.
Put your drinking boots on too.
Yeah.
We'll probably have a few of those.
Exactly. You have another...
What's
you
that?
Yep. So
your drinking hat.
Oh, your drinking hat.
Bring your
Can you wear that?
I think we should have a hat day. I love a good hat day.
You know what? I know they didn't want me to mention this, but our wonderful supporters club, they honored my upcoming birthday, and they sent me a little gift or two, including the hat that I've been searching for forever, a black Liverpool baseball cap. It's freaking incredible. It was so thoughtful, so generous. Mm-hmm. And they are wonderful people. And it reminded me just what we have here. It's not just the six of us. It's all of you as well out there. And I have to say, I got a little emotional. It was just so thoughtful. It was great.
That was also after the bottle of booze that you drank that they sent.
They sent me a bottle of booze, a personalized whiskey.
Best.
Yeah, exactly.
And you love it so much, Charms. You really appreciated the gift that you brought it onto the pod with you. To show it to everybody.
I'm going to wear it like moving forward. Just I have to run out of this straight to Homestand Sports where I'm in studio without a hat. That's why. But I will be wearing that hat a lot. Trust me.
Your Eddie Munster hair can't change. You need your widow's peak.
I got a haircut yesterday. It's not bad, is it?
It looks great. I was thinking you look very handsome today.
Oh, thanks, Dubs. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Me and Jimmy had the same
you do outfit today. You guys call each other
that. Yeah, we did. You have another comment here before
we do last one that we're going to talk from YouTube, and it was with our Hercules Gomez interview. Really well received, a lot of hits. But Ozzy Gallegos 5091, he said having two divisions makes sense, and having MLS grow to 40 plus teams, having 20 teams like the EPL makes for better competition. If an island like England can do it and have seven divisions, the size of the U.S. can definitely make it work. Great conversation. Keep it up. Thanks, Ozzy. That was optimistic, too, that we could keep it up. Dubs, you cover the MLS. What do you think about 20 teams and moving into that pyramid kind of space with perhaps USL and CPL teams?
Oh, I mean, making the pyramid more robust and, you know, nourishing that ecosystem with the grassroots, with the youth teams, with like that tier two. Yeah, that makes sense. I think they have the population to do it. They have the infrastructure to do it. You look at USL and the soccer specific stadiums that they're building in the U.S. It's really exciting, really vibrant communities as well when you look at their supporters. But in terms of comparing it to England, it's apples and oranges. It's never going to be that. So I like his optimism as well. I think you keep growing the game, but you have to do it kind of in your own unique and distinct way, which is what it's going to be in North America. And Canada has to be slightly separate from the US. We sort of piggyback with our three MLS franchises on, the US infrastructure. But we have to start building our own kind of up here if we want to continue to hang.
Yeah, I think with the system and the way MLS is and the way these rich guys are getting involved in the game, they don't mind losing significant amounts of money. But when their rights fees are going up, that's what they're looking at. They're looking at the actual price of their franchise going up. And there's a difference being a franchise and those clubs in England are not franchises. It's a completely different world. And when they're now going for $350 million, they want guarantees that $350 million is somewhat guaranteed, at least that they won't be relegated out of MLS. That's why, from a sporting standpoint, we love the relegation promotion. But from a business standpoint in the United States, the way sports operates, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Jimmy?
I agree. I mean, you'd love to see it. What is it, 92 professional teams in England? The top four divisions are professional. Yep. And then, yes, there is seven in the pyramid, but after the fourth division, it's all amateur football after that. But can I see it happening in the States? No. Would I love to see it? 100%. I think it'd be absolutely.
Yeah, I was wondering, would that be the dream? Like if you had your druthers and you said, hey, we're not going this model. We're going to go this model. Jimmy, would that kind of be your, like, just to keep the pyramid intact and the approach? You like that traditionalism?
I do. I like that. I like promotion relegation. I think it's brilliant simply because every game means something. And, you know, even with MLS or any sport in the States, you know, halfway through a season, people are nowhere near the playoff spot. What are you playing for? You're just playing the game. Whereas when you do have promotion relegation, every single match means something. You're either fighting for a championship or you're fighting relegation.
Mm-hmm. Like in Toronto FC's position with the last 3 years, they finished in the bottom two. It would be pretty tense and exciting if people were going to the ballpark, not because they're just give up on the team for the season. Good luck next year. It's like, no, we got to go support them because they need the 2-3 points to get to keep themselves safe, or otherwise they're going down into the USL.
Yeah. You know, the other thing is too, what you got to look at and appreciate with promotion relegation is, you know, for instance, if there's a team in the Premier League that was kind of just hovering above that relegation zone for the last 3 years, and Newcastle was a prime example, and then Newcastle went down into the Championship. And I remember when they came back up, like that season, the fans were going crazy because now you're something to cheer for. You're winning something. There's a trophy on the line now. And all of a sudden now they get promoted and there's a buzz around the city. You're back in the Premier League. And, you know, it just means so much to the fans, to the club, to the players. You know, yeah, you get relegated, but then you're fighting for something new. So I like it. I think it's brilliant.
If I could be a pedant for 1 second here. Ozzy
what?
5891. A pedant. Pedant?
Oh, pedant.
Pedant. Pedant, is that how you pronounce it? Anyway.
I thought you were in a pee somewhere. You'll urinate.
No, he refers to England as an island. Scotland and Wales wouldn't like that too much. You know, Great Britain, sure.
I like that pedancy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just throw that in there.
I like that.
I see you've popped up something here regarding Ted Lasso, Wonga, before we say goodbye.
Well, there's a really funny part in Ted Lasso, and it says in the TV show, when asked how no relegation impacted the weaker teams in America, they play out the rest of the schedule going through the motions in meaningless games contested in lifeless, half-empty stadiums. And everyone's pretty much fine with that. So it's one of those quotes from Ted Lasso that I'm kind of like, oh, yeah, that's what we do. And that's what we've been trained to do. To Craig's point, we were trained for playoffs every year through hockey, through football. That's how it's always been here. So this is where that traditionalism for us, for North Americans, that's been our tradition. So I can understand why the vision isn't placed on the traditionalism, I'm using that word a lot, of England, the UK, and football over there. But I do love promotion and relegation too. I think it's fantastic.
And let's not forget, it's world football promotion relegation.
Yeah, it's true. South America, wherever. I will say this though, I said before, I think that there's more chance of European world football skewing more towards the North American model than there is the other way around, just for the reasons that Craig mentioned there with the monies involved. But it was good. I enjoyed that. That was a good comment for sure. That's on our YouTube channel, where we're sticking more and more content up there on a regular basis. And there will be bespoke content, like just for the viewers as well, coming up in the near future, not just clips from the podcast. But yeah, we're making inroads.
It's a very strong word, bespoke. I've always liked that.
Me too. I didn't know what it meant for a long time. And then I went to Sportsnet and got a suit made.
I
found out, oh, a bespoke suit. Now I know what it means. Anyone not know what it means? Can we clarify for anyone?
No idea.
I take my bike there. You tune it up.
Okay. So that's it. We've got MLS 3 questions for Montreal already available to you for your listening pleasure. I'm driving to Homestead. That's going to be my podcast on the way there, Dubs. We are recording Vancouver later on today and TFC. I am off as of tomorrow. Are you guys doing an MLS box to box?
We'll figure out something.
Yeah. Sure you will. And of course on Friday, the next foundational, no longer News and Dubs, just Footy Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've made a branding change, just so everyone knows. People have been asking, what's with the names? Someone actually asked that. What's with the names in the comment? And we went, well, that was We never answered, but we realized that it could be confusing. So we did it at a certain time when we only had a certain number of podcasts during the week. So we gave them names because our content is increasing. Footy Prime itself, it will be 3 times a week. And then our MLS shows will be named. But otherwise, it's Footy Prime, the podcast.
There you go. Perfect. Oh, sorry. Quick, another just popped up now from Brian Reynolds, 69.
I like this guy.
Love the show. Was a big fan of the old Deadpool you had last year. Got a great idea for you. An all Wrexham podcast 3 times a week would be a lively endeavor. I like that. You know what, Ryan Reynolds, if you want to pay us, we will do a podcast for you 3 times a week. 100%.
My nemesis, Ryan Reynolds.
Yes. What a dick. What sounds a dick. Like the right dick, doesn't he, eh? Wow. Yeah. All right, tonybet.ca, wager, FuboTV.com, watch. We're back next time. Oh, Sprinkle, is that you doing there?
Yeah, well. What
are you doing, like, doing the...
Peppermill.
Peppermill.
Pepper shaker.
Like a mortar and pestle. What were you doing, Mark?
Something sexual.
Disgusting. You look so hot in that hat.
Yeah. Footy Prime, laters.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bett. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit WeAreFootyPrime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Relatively straight-laced show, actually, that was.
Really good.
Well done, Wonga. You didn't drop to depravity like you
Wow, did. Not every show.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.